Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. October the 19th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your leadership in all things. We thank you for the warnings that you have provided us. We thank you for the path that you have laid out before us. Today, as we come into your presence again, we ask for that guidance that is so necessary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in our last few sessions, we've been talking about the fact that Steve Bannon has set up an assault plan against the Republicans who are in leadership positions in the Senate and the House. And of course, one of the points that he makes every opportunity that he does is that he's doing this for the president, because these men, he wants to remove them because they are not supporting the agenda of the president. Daily Beast, on October the 12th, 2017, printed an article written by Matt Lewis. The title of the article is "Bannon Maybe Doesn't Mind Helping Trump, But That's Not His Real Goal." Bannon maybe doesn't mind helping Trump, but that's not his real goal. And Matthew Lewis's subtitle here is, "Bannon said and the press bought the idea that he's lining up his candidate slate to help Trump. No, he's doing it to burn down the House." As I said before, the article is found in the Daily Beast, published October the 12th, 2017, written by Matt Lewis. And the title is, "Bannon Maybe Doesn't Mind Helping Trump, But That's Not His Real Goal." Here's the article. "Steve Bannon's effort to challenge incumbent Republican senators up for re-election, save for Ted Cruz, has little to do with advancing Donald Trump's wishes or legislative agenda, whatever that is, and everything to do with burning down the House. Although this revelation might come as no surprise to political cynics, it does go against Bannon's stated plan, as expressed during his White House exit interviews. Steve Bannon left the White House because the Trump administration needed a wingman outside and now wants to help get allies of President Donald Trump elected to the Senate," he said Tuesday at a global investment conference, as reported in CNN. "His tune hasn't changed. We are declaring war on the Republican establishment. That does not back the agenda that Donald Trump ran on," Bannon told Fox News' Sean Hannity this week. "If Bannon's goal were really to be Trump's wingman outside, though, then why would Cruz be excluded from the hit list? Cruz called Trump a pathological liar and refused to endorse him at the Republican National Convention. At one point, Trump even threatened to launch a super PAC against Cruz. The obvious reason Cruz has been granted immunity is that Bannon's benefactors, the Mercers, love him. Apparently, Bannon is part of the swamp because the Mercers' money defines who he targets and who he doesn't. But it doesn't end there. What's happening in Utah is even more confusing. If viewed from Trump's perspective, with Steve Bannon's help, Boyd Matheson, a former chief of staff to Senator Mike Lee, is considering running against Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, according to Politico. When they huddled in Washington last week, Matheson and Bannon discussed how a 2018 campaign would play out. It may well be time for Hatch to go. He's 83 and seeking his eighth term, and Matheson might be a fine conservative, but it's doubtful this has anything to do with Trump's wishes. Hatch has been pretty positive about Donald Trump, maybe even overly so. As Roll Call reported, Hatch not only worked to support Trump in the Beehive State, he also helped in neighborhood states with significant Mormon populations on easy over Trump's personal values and backgrounds. And while Hatch was helping Trump get elected, Matheson not only predicted that Evan McMullen could beat Trump and Hillary in Utah, but he also criticized Trump, albeit in a veiled way, for immorality. It doesn't matter if it's Trump or Clinton, Utahians are saying. No, that's not what leadership looks like to us, Matheson said. And just weeks before the general election, Matheson also noted that there are likely several million of those primary voters who now also question whether Mr. Trump and the GOP represent them and their values. So Bannon is ostensibly going to help oust an incumbent senator who has been pretty favorable to Trump and swamp him with a Lee Cruz loyalist who was criticizing the president's weak before the November election. I'm all for loyalty, but the problem here is that it is in very selected forces. The point here is that Bannon's project has nothing to do with advancing Trumpism and everything to do with ousting establishment incumbents, regardless of merit or devotion to Trump. There's nothing inherently wrong with this, but I think it has been largely overlooked. Reportedly, the criteria for Bannon to support a candidate is that they must oppose Mitch McConnell as majority leader and support ending the legislative filibuster. Trump is an advocate of doing away with the filibuster and has recently shown disappointment in McConnell because he failed to repeal and replace Obamacare. But if Trump wants to get things done in the near future, he will need the support of senators like McConnell and Hatch and Bob Corker. In the long run, it's possible that Bannon will usher in a new wave of conservative leaders to replace the tired and old. Once upon a time, Hatch was viewed as a young, rabble-rousing, new right conservative. In the short run, Bannon is making it even harder for Trump to enact his agenda. What is more, he could also cost the GOP seats, and maybe even the majority, if he helps unelectable Republican candidates knock off or weaken incumbent senators like Jeff Flake in Arizona or Dean Heller in Nevada. Now, of course, let me pause here to say that we've talked about this before, but Bannon is moving in the direction of making sure that he's got as many Reconstructionists and Dominionists as he can find together, because that is really the hidden agenda of these gentlemen, and this is the direction in which they want to go. Continuing the article, it says, as was the case with Bannon's backing of Roy Moore for Senate in the Alabama primary against Trump's endorsed candidate, Luther Strange, this is an example of Bannon giving Trump what he thinks he needs, if not what the president actually wants. While Trump and the Republicans ostensibly want to put some points on the board, that would be tax reform, for example, Bannon is an insurrectionist who has much grander revolutionary goals. They believe they have to destroy the village in order to save it. Explaining to Mercer and Bannon they could hurt the GOP is beside the point, says conservative Bill Kristol. They want to hurt, even destroy, the existing Republican Party. With friends like this, Trump might not need any enemies. Now, that's the end of the article. It's pretty short, but the article that I was reading is found in the Daily Beast and written by Matt Lewis, published October the 12th, 2017. The title of that article is Bannon Maybe Doesn't Mind Helping Trump, But That's Not His Real Goal. Now, I'm not aware. I don't know whether you have heard early on in the Trump administration Bannon using a phrase, a term in which he said he wants to deconstruct the administrative state. He was saying this quite often. Every opportunity that he got, he would make that statement. There is an article in the CNN website written by Gregory Krieg, dated March the 30th, 2017, entitled, What the Deconstruction of the Administrative State Really Looks Like. Now, again, let me say that this is a favorite description of Steve Bannon about what he wanted to do when he first went into the House, to the White House. He wanted to deconstruct the administrative state. The article is entitled, What the Deconstruction of the Administrative State Really Looks Like. Here's the article. Donald Trump's budget proposal was a statement of intent, and his actions this week were a down payment. The warning to Americans from the government is clear. Your national defense will be well funded, and your security will be a priority. But for benefits beyond the most basic services, don't count on me. It's a kind of breakup note to taxpayers. Uncle Sam can still be your friend, sure, but that's it. Nothing more. In Washington, the vogue term is the deconstruction of the administrative state. That was coined by White House Chief Magistrate Strategic Thinker Steve Bannon, who used it during a rare public chat at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland in the month of February. The process, he explained, began with Trump's first presidential hires. If you look at these cabinet appointees, they were selected for a reason, and that is the deconstruction. The way the progressive left runs is if they can't get it passed, they're going to put in some sort of regulation in an agency, Bannon said. That's all going to be deconstructed. And I think that that's why this regulatory thing is so important. In the aftermath of the White House's failure to forge a deal to repeal and replace Obamacare, simple deregulation has again moved to the center of its immediate agenda. In less than a week, the administration and congressional allies have moved on three fronts. On Tuesday, Trump signed an executive order that called for a review of the Clean Power Plan, an Obama-era policy that tied up in the court challenges would regulate fossil fuel emissions from energy plants. His signature also withdrew a moratorium on coal mining on U.S. lands. More broadly, it urged federal agencies to appropriately suspend, revise, or rescind those that unduly burden the development of domestic energy resources. House Republicans on the same day voted to repeal internet privacy protections pushed by the administration of Obama and approved by the Federal Communications Commission just before the 2016 election. The regulations would have prohibited internet service providers like AT&T and Comcast from sharing or selling users' personal data, including browsing history and geolocation, without their permission. Less privacy will translate to bigger profits for those businesses who will have now the opportunity to be able to offer outside businesses more detailed information about their users, creating a lucrative market for targeting advertisements. Trump is expected to sign the legislation, which has already been approved in the Senate. There's no apparent role for Congress in the administration's other new venture, the creation of an executive office dedicated to applying private sector standards to government. The White House Office of American Innovation will be run by Trump's son-in-law and trusted advisor, Jared Kushner. Our hope, Kushner told the Washington Post, is that we can achieve successes and efficiencies for our customers who are the citizens. In other words, They were planning, I don't think that has come through though, but they have been originally planning to run the White House like a business. And of course, you know, of course, the implications of that would mean that they would have total and absolute say over everything they decided to do, and they would not necessarily have to pass it by the Congress in order to get approval on that. Continuing the article. New administrations routinely plot courses for streamlining government and saving tax dollars, but they are almost always unsuccessful. And the Trump White House, disdainful and antagonizing of federal bureaucracies, is unlikely to find many allies to grease their operation. Still, Kushner's idealized conception of government as a business and citizens as consumers of its product is perhaps the cleanest and most accessible explanation of what a depleted administrative state would yield. That is, a fundamental remaking of the relationship between the people and the state, with an expanding gap between what Americans have come to expect from government and what it would be equipped to provide. So that's the end of that article, and of course, that's what they're trying to do. Well, that's what they were trying to do. Of course, by now they've discovered that that is not going to be that easy to do from within, and that is one of the reasons why Mr. Bannon is now trying to do it from without. He's trying to see if he could get as many people who think like him into the Congress so that they can redo and remake the way that government works. One last article that I want to quickly look at here in this session is found in the Common Dreams website. That's Common Dreams website, published August the 18th, 2017. The author of the article is Jake Johnson, who is a staff writer. The title of the article is Bannon's Ouster Welcomed, but Much Bigger Problem Remains in White House. Bannon's Ouster Welcomed, but Much Bigger Problem Remains in White House. Here's the article. The problem was never just Steve Bannon. It was and always will be Donald Trump. That's how Senator Bernie Sanders responded to news that Friday would be the last day on the job for Trump's top political strategist. The larger and more urgent crisis, however, is that a white supremacist sympathizer is president of the United States. And others echoed Sanders on the heels of the breaking reports, saying that while Bannon's departure is a welcome step, the fight against white nationalism is far from over. Are we talking about what Sanders says here? That's Bernie Sanders. Continuing. Bannon has unquestionably been a driving force behind the racial turmoil that threatens to tear this country apart. Such a divisive figure has no place in the White House, Kristen Clark, president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, said in a statement. While it is appropriate that Steve Bannon go, his departure is not enough, Clark concluded. The Trump administration must end its pursuit of policies that promote the marginalization of minority communities, which emboldens the very white nationalists who descended on Charlottesville last weekend. Echoing this argument, Ultraviolet said on Friday, "Good riddance, Steve. The larger and more urgent crisis, however, is that a white supremacist sympathizer is the president of the United States." Friends of the Earth also weighed in. It is unclear whether Bannon resigned or if Trump, who has of late been under pressure to remove the nationalist wing of his administration, ultimately decided to fire him. The New York Times summarized, "The president and senior White House officials were debating when and how to dismiss Mr. Bannon. The two administration officials cautioned that Mr. Trump is known to be averse to confrontation within his own circle and could decide to keep on Mr. Bannon for some time. As of Friday morning, the two men were still discussing Mr. Bannon's future," the officials said. A person close to Mr. Bannon insisted the parting of ways was his idea and that he had submitted his recommendation to the president on August the 7th. Bannon made headlines earlier this week after the American prospect's Robert Kuttner published the details of a phone conversation he had with the former executive chair of the right-wing outlet Breitbart. During the call, Bannon casually discussed administrative infighting and mocked the White House stance on North Korea. At an impromptu press conference on Tuesday, Trump seemed to express doubt about Bannon's future. "We'll see," he said in response to questions about Bannon's status. In a now infamous speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference earlier this year, Bannon described his ambitious plan to fundamentally alter the American political system. The call to end that kind of system is my plan. And of course, he describes it as the deconstruction of the administrative state. And that would include everything from the tax system to the trade deals to the regulations that exist. For now, at least, that plan appears to be on hold. White House officials, for their part, don't seem worried that his departure will cause any internal turmoil. His departure may seem turbulent in the media, but inside it will be very smooth, one official told Swan. He has no projects or responsibilities to hand off. Now, of course, that's not how it turned out. And of course, this article was published on August the 18th, 2017, and you already have heard Mr. Bannon making the plan on how he's going to change the entire Republican Senate and change, when he's finished with that, he's going to start working on the House of Representatives. Now, of course, as we have said before, all of these men are being governed by a dominionist agenda, a reconstructionist agenda, a theocratic agenda. And of course, all of this falls in line with what God has been warning us concerning for quite some time. You and I today must be ready to face the circumstances that surround us. And it is clear, it is crystal clear, that everything that is being done right now is heading in the direction of God's word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue day by day to instruct us in the path that we should go. We thank you that you continue to reveal that which needs to be shown so that we will see that you are accurate in your statements concerning where we will be. We ask for strength. We ask for wisdom. We ask for the kind of decision-making that will make it sure that we will stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 19th, 2017.